Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Brihadaranyaka Upanishads, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
We are recording from the ashram of our revered Guru, Pujya Atman Sri Swami Jyotir Mayananji in Miami, Florida. And tonight, Swamiji will lecture on Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And now, Pujya Atman Sri Swami Jyotir Mayananji.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Chapter 2, Section 4, and mantras are from 1 to 14. They cover the episode of dialogue between Yajnavalkya and Maitreyi. The profound, interesting Vedantic topic. And let me reiterate some of those points that I have already said. Yajnavalkya, ready to enter into sannyasa ashram, approaches his wife. He had two wives, Maitreyi and Katyayani. And Yajnavalkya told, O Maitreyi, now I am departing for entering into the order of sannyasa. Therefore, let me settle the earthly matter between you and Katyayani. These were the two wives of Yajnavalkya. Maitreyi said, O Lord, can wealth make one happy? The wealth term here includes all worldly matters, called bhoga. If I were to gain the whole earth with all its wealth, will I be happy? Is a serious question, and one should have time and space for focusing the mind on that question. Should one just move on day by day in a zigzag manner, or should there be a purpose, and mind should have the ability to look at this, all the possibilities, with a sense of objectivity, as if you have attained the world. Dramatize it. Just ask your mind, what do you want? And mind says, a lot of money. All right, you have it. What do you want more? You want a lot of friends, a lot of people who recognize you, help you, give enjoyment to you. Now suppose you have it all, then scratch your head. What do you want? And there is someone with you who gives you a negative view of things. Says, all that you wanted, you know, have you checked your heart with the doctor? Suppose you kick the bucket. All that you have wanted, what happens? Do you really, you want all this? Have you seen anyone having all the world and being happy forever? Is there a single example? If you had a single example, okay, go ahead. But you don't have a single example. And therefore, question must be raised. What is the real purpose of life? Gaining what will I be absolutely fulfilled? Of course, all religions give you the answer. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. All else shall be added unto you. But the very same insight is presented by the Vedas. Seek ye first the self. If you study your mind, you study all about yourself, the most important aspect within yourself is that which you call I am. Your understanding of yourself. But yourself goes even beyond your understanding, whether you understand it or not. there is an abiding awareness of self in you. And it is because you have that self that you are able to see, able to hear. Because of it, the world becomes interesting. If that self is not there, nothing matters. All is zero. So, use the mathematics. It is because of the self, all becomes lovable. Let me therefore give you the exact Upanishadic way of explanation. When Yajnavalkya said that he is going to settle the earthly matter, Katyayani was happy and relaxed. But there is always different states of mind. People have different qualifications. And great people don't develop conflict in their mind. Why aren't all devotees of the highest order? The attitude should be always relaxed. Just like in a family, you have children in different ages. And they have different capacity to understand. You can't force higher understanding to a three-year-old. Sometimes a three-year-old can surprise you. That's a different matter. But you can't force understanding. So that subtle point has been brought out in a very simple way. That Katyayani was quite well with that. But Maitreyi asked, O Lord, can wealth make one happy? If I were to gain the whole earth with all its wealth, will I be happy? And Yajnavalkya said, no. You will live like a rich person. Try to understand, though people work so hard to become rich, but look at the modern world, look at the condition of the rich, look at all the miseries and terrible situations grab the rich people. So you will live like a rich person. Any idea comes to your mind, you will pursue it. You want to go to Hawaii, fine, you will go. You will go to Canada and watch the water Niagara Falls, and you can do that. You can go to different places. Because you have a lot of money and anything is possible. And if you have health with it. But there will not be enlightenment. And you're running around in this world will make you thirstier. You are thirsty for happiness. And the more you hop, greater is the thirst. Because happiness has become translated into hoppiness. With mind, with money, constantly thinking, so much happiness came by this trip. Let me find another place to go. Enjoy other things. So your mind is constantly planning for hopping from one situation to another. And hoppiness makes your mind extremely distracted. A distracted mind is not really happy. It becomes a magnet for all sorrowful thoughts. Maitreyi said, O sage, if immortality cannot be gained by wealth, what will I do with the pleasures that wealth provides? Please tell me about immortality. That's what you are going after. Why shouldn't I have the same that you want? And Yajnavalkya said, O Maitreyi, you have been dear to me before, and what you are saying is well appreciated. I will indeed impart to you the wisdom relating to immortality. Having listened to it, reflect upon it. Saho vacha, nava are patyuh kamaya patih priyo bhavati, nava are jaya yai kamayai, jaya priya bhavati, nava are putranam kamaya putraha priya bhavanti, and so forth. The meaning behind it is, O Maitreyi, for the sake of, wife doesn't become dear for the sake of wife. Son doesn't become dear for the sake of son. Objects do not become dear for what they are. They become dear because of the self. At that point I have already explained to you that self is the nucleus, the central point. If self is not involved, simply because if objects are around, you are not going to be happy. In every project, your mind goes after, will I be happy with this? So your central point is, will I be happy? Will that object give me happiness? So object becomes dear if it will give you happiness. If it doesn't give you happiness, it will not. So ultimately you are the center and the source of the happiness and glory that you see in the objects of the world. Put it in a more dramatic way. Self is the embodiment of bliss. When you go to deep sleep, you are not with your body, you are not with your senses, not with your mind, not even with your dear intellect and ego. And yet, you are happy. A type of happiness that the world cannot give. A type of happiness that cannot be compensated by the world. Try to think of it. Try to collect things that give you great joy and go on looking at them. Don't go to sleep. Go on putting sources of bigger and bigger joy. Line them all up. If you have just even 5 minutes of dozing off, that gives you more joy. Simple mathematics. Joy is coming from within you. You are not dependent. To the extent your mind considers the importance of any object, the moment the mind has developed that idea, the subtle desire of your unconscious, called vasana, puts a polish over the object. And when you look into the object, you are seeing your own face in that polish. Your face is the Atma, the Self, the I Am. Look at an object and what makes you feel so happy? If I have it, I will be so happy. If you have it, if you keep it in your room, keep it under your control, use it according to your will, you will be happy. But if vasana changes, the subtle impressions of your mind regarding the object, look at the object with a totally different way. It looks ugly, distorted. I don't want to look at you. Go to hell. You have heard those things. Since the dearest ones suddenly become source of annoyance. So it is so easy to shift your angle from one point, oh, it is such a wonderful some person or object, source of great joy. The moment your mood has changed, I never liked that person. The very first day I met, I knew it. That's the magic of vasana. Now therefore, what's the ideal? The ideal that you are being led to is the Atma within you, is the reality behind this entire universe. So do not look at the object as something to be enjoyed by your senses, but look at the object as I Am. This becomes very profound and we will make you understand that gradually. That experience of I Am is like entering into deep, deep sleep where you don't need the senses, you don't need the mind, you don't need your intellect and ego. That type of experience And the entire world is the self. So the world appears a world of multiplicity because you are looking at the world through your senses. Through the senses, you see so many types of colors, so many perceptions, five perceptions that go to form the physical world. Physical world has only five points. Something to see, something to hear. If your eyes are blind, one-fifth of the world is gone. If you lose your ears along with your eyes, two-fifths of the world is gone. So the entire world depends upon the little face within you. Two eyes, two ears, two nose. I'm leading you to understand that the world that is perceived by your senses is not the perception of reality. Senses are refracting reality. Senses are not bringing you what it is, but it is just like the rays of the light coming through a cloud becomes refracted into a rainbow. In the same way, the senses are refracting your reality. Therefore, at the deepest level, all that you are experiencing through your senses, all you experience through your mind, through your intellect, through your ego, all this is the experience of the self. That profound insight, if it becomes perfect, then you are a Jivan Mukta, liberated. Your practical life will continue in a very normal way and with a meaningful manner. But deep down, you are like the sky. The sky has no dependence on the clouds. But this being the ideal, don't expect it to slip into that ideal in a moment. Your life has to be a constant flow towards that ideal with great patience. And that's called the practice of sadhana, yoga. That's true religion. Live for attaining it. Don't live to die, that everybody does it. Live for immortality. O Maitreyi, this Atman is to be seen, heard of, reflected upon, and meditated upon. Verily, by seeing of, by the hearing of, by the thinking of, by the understanding of the self, all this is known. Allow spiritual sensitivity to develop. And for developing it, remember the Vedantic sadhana, which is Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. First stage, listen. Listen to the glorious teachings with a mind that is open, heart that is moving towards purification. Profounder truth should spark up your ears, just like I'll give you a crude illustration. Someone who is interested in multiplying money and is listening to a plot, how to get quick money. The ears become erect. You want to hear every little detail. So if the mind has developed even a slightest understanding of the immense joy that awaits you by being enlightened, then listening to spiritual teaching that touches your heart, that becomes the greatest highlight. Nothing compares with satsanga, where you are given that little touch in your eardrums. But listening must be followed by reflection, shravana, manana. You start assimilating it. And manana leads to nididhyasana. Advanced teaching, as you listen and meditate and reflect upon, your mind is being prepared to understand that all diversity is actually unity expressing itself in diversity. Ocean expressing itself in countless waves. So it is not the waves that your mind should go after. Go after the ocean. Ocean is the self. Atmanastu kamaya. That Atma is the ocean. And all things that seem to give you happiness, pleasure, they are waves. So ultimately all things are also Atma. Self alone is. That's the result of reflection. Because when you begin to reflect, your mind moves away from your senses. So you are not working with taste, smell, etc. You are working with subtle feeling, subtle insight.